Okay, Tony wanted me to record this, but so I've got the little recorder going. I appreciate you coming, especially when there's advanced word that Tony's not going to be here, and you guys show up anyway. That's pretty good. I really appreciate that. It's touching. And especially see Dan and Liz.
My goodness, I haven't seen you guys for a while.
Wanted to start out here with Matthew 7, 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. As I was looking at this, I was thinking, you know, I'd rather put the last two verses first and then the first two verses. You know, it's like a good movie ending. I like the movies that end with a happy ending. But I couldn't quite bring myself to change scripture around. So instead, I'm just going to read the first two verses again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. There's been some winds blowing, some rain falling in our lives. And the streams are rising. The fact that we've dealt with COVID for however long, and you know, the sorrow of separation of loved ones, and just the issues that we run into in our lives, those things come against us. But we need to be anchored on the rock, Christ Jesus. We need to be anchored in His teachings and the way He leads us and walks with us. And if we are, our house will stand. Your house will stand because, not because of our strength, but because of the strength that Jesus puts into our lives to give us that inner strength so that we can stand against those things that come against us, even in the midst of troubles. First Peter talks about that rock. Coming to Him, Jesus, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man, but chosen by God and precious. The stone is a precious stone. You know, I've seen this many times, and I haven't noticed the precious part of that so much. You are also living stones being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be by no means be put to shame." Jesus is that rock. Therefore, to those who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. You know, I think there's the stone that was rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I think we all have felt rejection in our life, and all have been at one point or another had that rejection, and that's part of life. But Jesus was rejected even more. He created the heavens and the earth, formed those things, and came and was born and came to us to help us, and we all rejected him. You know, as a kid, I used to think, oh, I wish I would have been around when Jesus was on earth. That'd be really cool, because then I could have been there and seen and done things. And then I had a realization one night when I was dreaming that if I had been there at that time, I would have been one of those that cried out, crucify him. I would have been one of those that were saying, you know, send him to the cross. Because that's who we are in the flesh. Who we are in the natural, we reject. But Jesus loved us anyway. And overcomes that rejection and touches us. And he bore our rejection. And brings us that grace and that peace and that life. The chief cornerstone. Galatians 6 says, let us not be weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This COVID stuff and the other things in our life have been going on quite a while. And they go on and on. But there is a harvest for us. There is a blessing for us. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about Jonathan, who is the son of Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. And right after he became king, the Philistines came to wipe them all out, because the Philistines were the power in the area. And they came with a huge army and invaded and were chasing the Israelites. And the Israelites were hiding down in caves. And Jonathan, a grown son of Saul, said, well, you know, I feel like I got to do something. So he went out with his armor bearer and went up and ran into some enemies, ran into some of the Philistines, and they said, come up here and fight. So they crawled up, came up, and came into where there was a narrow gap, where there was only room for one or two people to come at a time. And he started fighting those people. And he would swing his sword and hit one, and the armor bearer behind him would kill them. Soldiers, okay? And he kept there and kept fighting. And because he knocked down one, and then there was another one. He knocked down another one, and there was another one. And knocked down another one, and there was another one. Time after time, another one would step forward to fight. And I'm sure he became a little weary there, fighting for his life. And finally, after he killed about 20 men, that contingent of ran out of men right there, that group of him, then the Lord moved. You know, he was just doing what he could do, and the Lord came and fought against the enemies and routed the big Philistine army with thousands of people. You know, and Jonathan didn't know that was going to happen. He was just thinking, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do this. It's my job to do this, and I'm going to fight as much as I can, because that's what's right to do. That's the thing that I need to be doing, is I need to be doing what God has shown me to do. And as he did that and was obedient and kept fighting, even though the weariness was there, kept doing what was right in his life, it made a way for God to move and not only help him, but all of the people in Israel with that obedience and that victory. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And this one's in the right order. Happy movie ending. There was no modifications here. Hope deferred, you know, the length of our struggle sometimes wears on us. And it does. It makes for our heart to be sick. But when the Lord moves and when things come, then we can be fulfilled. And it's like a tree of life. Life. That life is what the Lord wants for us. You know, in times of trouble, there is a lot to be gained, because when we are in trouble, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. You can almost treasure some of those hard times, because in the midst of the hard times, in the midst of the sorrow, the Lord is close. And if we call out to him, he does hear us. And sometimes the circumstances don't change. Sometimes it's just the same thing. But the presence of the Lord can come and lift us up and bear us up to help us and be with us. And that is something that we can do in times of trouble. That's easier to recognize that, oh yeah, I'm not so great, or I can't do this on my own. You know, I've heard some people say, well, I don't know about church. It's just like, they just treat God as a crutch. And I think, thank God there's a crutch. More than a crutch, you know. I need God. I need Jesus. I need that strength in my life. I would be lost without him. You know, I would have been dead by now. But I'm still here. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And when you, and Isaiah talks about, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. I think it's interesting here, it's not if you walk through the waters, if you pass through the rivers, if you walk through the fire, it's when. We do face these things, but the Lord will be with us, and he is faithful to help us and to lift us and carry us through. In Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, and some people look at saved as just, oh, my soul will be, make it into heaven, which is wonderful news. But salvation is more than just, my soul will make it into heaven. When the gospel is preached, it takes us at our point of need. And there's an evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, who did a lot of work in Africa, and he has a story. He talks about, you know, the gospel. Jesus didn't come to somebody that was in prison just to make their life a little bit better. He didn't come and paint the cell pink so it would be nicer. No, he came and he opened up the door, threw the door open, set the prisoner free. The gospel is to meet our point of need, and not just to get it a little bit better, not just to paint our cell pink. The gospel comes, and Jesus comes with his power to blow open the prison door, to meet us where our point of need is. You know, when Jesus came on earth, and some of that was, you know, a physical healing. Bartimaeus was blind, and he needed to be able to see, and God touched him and gave him sight. Bartimaeus needed to be accepted and brought in and taken, and he was the tax collector. So Jesus came to his house and had dinner and fellowship with him and chose him even though he was rejected by everybody else. There was another one I was thinking about that was different, but it escapes my mind right now. But the point is, the gospel comes and touches us where we needed to be touched, in ways we need to be touched. And that is salvation. So, I'm at the end of my slides. Pretty short and sweet here. We're short anyway. But I want us to call upon the Lord. You know, I'd like to pray for you guys. I think we should stand with John and Sharon. Mary went to be with the Lord Friday morning, and she lived a full, wonderful life, but it's hard still. You know, that separation and loved ones and you know, we want to stand with you guys and be with you.
You can really feel all the support and love from you and everybody in the church. It's been awesome.
Well, that's good, John. We do care. Oh, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we do. We call out to you. Lord, we especially pray for John and Sharon, Lord. Lord, let your grace come. Let your peace come. Lord, help us to be your hands extended to John and Sharon and their family, Lord. We ask for your peace and your grace as they gather together at this time, Lord. And in this season of COVID, Lord, bring that thing to an end. Bring that plague to an end. Give us strength, Lord, to continue on to do what is good. Help us to do what is set before us and to not be weary, but to reach out to others, to help others in the midst of our own troubles, to see your strength and your grace, to call out to you and hear you in the midst of our troubles. Lord, be close to us. Be close to us, Lord, for we are brokenhearted. And we are heavy laden, Lord. Let your strength come and be with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if anyone else has anything they'd like to pray about specifically, but you may if you wish. Okay, well, that's all I got, guys. Love you guys.